Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to artist Anna Bagayan. My favorite part of her interview was how she talked about meeting and collaborating with Japanese artist Takashi Murakami and how that led to her art show in Japan called Into the Void. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show.
We have a very special guest tonight on the podcast. Please welcome for the first time, artist Anna Bagayan. Did I say the name right?
Yes.
Okay,
did.
Thank God. I am hyped to have you because artists are always welcome here. We haven't had one in a while. And shout out to my neighbor, my good friend and neighbor, Craig, for introducing me to your art. Because can I display some of your beautiful art?
Yeah, go for it.
Holy smokes. Make sure you get this. I mean, talk about sci-fi. What inspired this? And when did you get into all? Because you do a lot of alien themes.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 10 years. Yeah.
Really? What got you into this whole phenomenon? Because I'm into it, too, and people think I'm crazy. But go ahead. I want to hear your story.
Have you heard of the movie The Fourth Kind?
Yes.
The with Milo Jovovich?
Yes.
So about 10 years ago, I watched that movie, and it said something about it being based on a true story. So it was about the psychiatrist whose patient thought he was either being abducted or possessed by something. And so when I saw that it was based on a true story, I had to go research it. Because up to that point, I had no idea that aliens even existed. I just thought it was just like a fictional thing, you know?
So
that kind of started the journey into researching. Mm-hmm. And I found out that it was sort of based on a true story. That there were people that actually believe that they've been abducted and mm-hmm. that there's this hybridization program happening. And that, you know, they're breeding with the aliens and creating hybrid children.
Yeah, there's even, we mentioned Linda Moulton Howe as well.
Yeah.
In some of her illustrations, there's these kind of like these upright breeding tanks where they hybrid with different, DNA and strands and stuff where there's tall whites and the little gray ones. But continue. Yeah, I love it.
Well, there's a bunch of theories about why they're doing it and
what was
how.
That?
Can I turn that off?
What the humidifier? It's the humidifier? You could hear the humid or the AC?
Something loud.
Okay, I'm gonna just hold on to that.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
You can keep talking about the fourth
time. Yeah.
You know, I don't really remember the movie all that much.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think
the humidifier stays on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're back. Okay, fourth kind. Or, like, back to your process or your
the interesting thing about that movie was that it was based on a true story.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really believe.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of, it's not like I believe everything I read. I do like to find some sort of proof for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of led me into the journey of researching the, like, real people that believe that they've been abducted.
Yes.
And the first thing that I watched that was kind of convincing was this documentary called The Experiencers. And it was about, and I think this might be what The Fourth Kind was based off of. So it was about this Harvard professor and psychiatrist who heard about these abductees and he wanted to help them
mm-hmm.
and find out, you know, if they were crazy or if they really believed if they really believe that they were being abducted. Right. So the documentary actually followed him to various people. And during one of the visits, he was interviewing this woman who was being abducted, and her children were also being abducted. And she was also a painter. Mm-hmm. And so they showed one of her artwork. And the way that she had described her experience was more loving, which is very different from what you see in, you know, sci-fi movies. They're usually portrayed as some sort of villain or
evil, like the reptilian, like in the reptilians in like V, the Final Battle or something like that. Yeah, yeah. So I completely agree. Continue. I love what you're saying. Go ahead. Yeah.
So that was something that was very new to me, and a lot of abductees were also having a similar experience to mm-hmm. that. And part of the reason was that they were being shown these hybrid children that they had agreed to participate in mm-hmm. in like another life. Right. And so these abductions were basically them being reintroduced to this program.
That's amazing.
So it's almost like, you know, the initial shock of being taken against your will, and then while you're up there, they show you
being crossbred with a different alien race.
And then sometimes they would even meet their children, and so they had these mixed feelings about, you know, being taken against their will, but at the same time, they felt love for
because it's half their DNA, and half the aliens.
Yeah.
Can I grab? I love what you're doing. Can I grab just another sample of your art? Are you getting this? So when this is beautiful. I mean, I love your whole your style and aesthetic, everything you do. This one, it kind of supports the stuff you're talking about as far as the abduction. I mean, some of the abduction stories, there's a dark hallway, or you know, they see these little alien gray beings and stuff. Is that
what it kind of feels like a dream?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they do have, I think what people don't realize, their technology is so way more advanced that they do have like probes or different type of technology for memory loss, where they could just zap you out. Or I've heard stories where, you know, someone's driving down a road and then they see a light, but then they don't remember anything, that they've been abducted.
Yeah. And then they're dropped off somewhere completely.
Yeah, they're on their front porch or something like that, where they don't remember anything. But this, when I look at this, I'm like, I feel a certain way about, you know what I just realized is that a human hand being led?
Yeah.
If you look close, that's a beautiful detail.
There's actually a series that this is part of.
And what's the series called?
It's called Arrival, actually. Did you ever read those R.L. Stein books where you choose your own adventure as you go?
I remember Choose Your Own Adventure. I remember, like, that has nothing to do with, like, Nancy Drew or anything, though, right?
She may have done something similar.
Right, that was back in the day, maybe in the late 70s, 80s or something, right? Okay, gotcha.
So on my Instagram, I did something similar where I started with, you know, the UFO arriving at a house. And then I asked in a poll, you know, my audience whether they would let them in or not. So they got to choose whether they would or wouldn't. And based on their answer, I would do the next panel.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the fourth piece.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one was the arrival over the house. The second one was they asked if they could borrow the TV. I was trying to make it a little bit mysterious because I had a plan for this story, but then, you know, the stuff in the world happened and I decided not to go with it. It was going to be a horror story originally.
That's a real good, I like that idea. It's really creative. Can I grab that piece as well? Because this one really stands out as well.
So they said yes to watching TV.
Okay. This is just beautiful. I love the reptilian and then there's is this an Andromedan maybe?
The purple girl?
I don't know.
I just made up. Right, but I like to make
it might exist,
though,
is what I'm saying. This thing the species might exist. I know, have you heard of the, we talked about Linda Moulton Howe. She's talked about the Ebens, the ones that are like kind of like this one. They're more, their heads are more shaped like a pear. Yeah, have you heard of these?
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, well, according to her, these Ebens, they're a lot more intelligent than the gray ones. Some of them are just like kind of like clones of worker bees. But the Ebens are like they could create other species. They're like highly intelligent. But
where are they from?
I don't know. I think the Zeta Reticuli constellation. I think there's a few from there. But how did you discover, Linda? And you mentioned, can you mention the documentary you did, like, maybe 10 minutes ago, the one that kind of sparked?
The Experiencers.
Okay, so where could people watch The Experiencers?
I think if you just look it up on YouTube, it might be available for YouTube? Free. The interesting thing about that is he also went to this school in, Zimbabwe.
Mm-hmm.
And he interviewed a bunch of children who had this group experience where they all saw this ship come down and a being come out of it, and they all experienced this together. And so he interviewed them in that documentary, and he passed away during the filming of it.
Wow.
But now there's a new documentary where they went back and interviewed those children, and now they're older adults. Now? Yeah.
And so that's interesting.
I think that one's called the aerial phenomenon, something like that. I haven't seen it yet because I'm not sure if it's fully finished and out yet. But so these kids who grew up are still sticking to their story as adults. So it's
there's probably a lot of trauma involved with those. Yeah. You know what I mean? And conviction, and that must just stay with them forever.
Yeah.
You know, that type of crazy experience. We got to give a lot of love to. A researcher that I love, I hold true, dear to my heart, Linda Moulton Howe, you know. I don't know how I discovered her, but I got one of her books, and it just blew my mind. Just the illustrations alone, I'm like, whoa. Like, she has...
I haven't seen the illustrations, actually.
Do you have it?
Yeah.
You have... Okay, can you hold on? Can you keep flashing that and maybe keep talking about some of the other alien beings on there?
Oh, okay. I can... The hybrid children, that's what I was talking about before. There's a bunch of different theories on why they're doing this, and one of them is that the Greys are actually humans from the future, like far, far future.
Oh, so they're like time travelers?
Yeah, they're almost like traveling back in time to get some of their original DNA because they evolved in such a way that they've become homogenized.
Right.
And they're trying to get back to their human roots.
That's such an interesting theory. So these aren't, I mean, your illustrations make these look like kid doodles or whatever.
Well, the funny thing is before...
Right here. Here we go. Here's these are just photographs.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of those.
Captured maybe from... Nevada somewhere where they captured dead grays from a UFO crash. And what's interesting, they have illustrations of some of these aircrafts where the way they operate the UFOs is it's like customized, like where they put just their hands or something, and then through telekinesis or through their mind they could control the UFOs, the aircraft, that way. It's really interesting. But Linda Moulton Howe has a YouTube channel every Wednesday on, it's called Earth Files. I tune in.
Oh, does she do
it? Yeah, she does. And she, it's interesting because every week is different. She, here we go. This is the thing that I was talking about. See this?
So I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so these hand panelings, these actually, they put their hands to operate the craft. Yeah, their technology is way more advanced. I mean, they don't...
So that's something that they found inside the craft?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. And you know what? Even a lot of these hieroglyphs or just these symbols and stuff, I don't even know. It's just really cryptic, you know, as far as language or whatever. But so what other... are there some movies that kind of stuck out growing up that kind of, like, stirred the imagination? Because I remember V, The Final Battle, and when I saw the reptilians, you know, like, how they were, like, disguised as humans, I'm like, oh, wow.
I haven't seen that one.
But they kind of look like... I love that. This character is beautiful, this reptilian kid. I love the hair.
The reptilians are one of the ones that people generally consider evil, but when I paint them, I try to make them... in a positive light.
That's why I like that, because from what I've heard, we're just kind of talking different theories, but from what I heard with the reptilians, they're very evil, and they actually live off human fear, or you know, and blood, like, you know, they like the, you know, fear and the blood, and they're just really evil.
But
and
I, they like shapeshift into their human form.
Yeah. So what? How did you discover? Let's move the conversation just to just reptilians. How did you find out about these particular type of species?
Oh, there's a guy who talks about them a lot. I forgot his name.
Oh, David Icke. It was probably David Icke.
I think.
You know, hold on to that thought, because I have to do this ad read. Just remember David Icke, because that's how I remember discovering him as well, and that's how I discovered Kratto Muttwa, the shaman, the African shaman. Okay, so this is a weird time to do the ad read. The Stevie Weeby Show is sponsored by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement. In a clinical study, men showed improvement in hair growth and thickness after 3 to 6 months. That's why it's recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. Grow thicker, healthier hair and support the show by going to Nutrafol.com and use promo code Stevie to save $15 off your first month subscription. This is the best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. Use promo code Stevie, stand up for your strands, and get Nutrafol. Back to David Icke and the reptilians. Go ahead.
The Greys could probably use that stuff too.
They should add that to their script, actually. Nutrafol, hit up Anna. Let's get some kind of Nutrafol.
He's bald, yeah. Here.
Oh, maybe. Can I throw this out in the universe?
Yeah, go for it.
Nutrafol, if you look at Anna's beautiful artwork, she knows how to capture nice, healthy looking hair. So, call her at Anna. What's your Instagram? Go ahead.
It's just my name, Anna Bagayan.
Let's spell it out, yeah. It's AnnaBagayan. And that's your, how to contact you.
Yeah, it's my Instagram and my website.
And your website.
And my Facebook.
Awesome. David Icke, did you discover him? Because I don't know, I don't remember how I was on YouTube somewhere. Go ahead.
Well, I think about 10 years ago, there wasn't as much out on the internet. So it was, you know, Linda Moulton Howe was one of the big names. David Icke,
Alex Collaire,
yeah,
and then David Wilcock, people like that.
And now there's just so much more stuff on YouTube that I think a lot of it is purposefully fake, or people just
for misinformation.
I think people just want to get views, and it's become really popular now, so people will just put up, you know, videos. Back then, David Icke was like one of the main resources of information, and he would talk about the reptilians a lot.
He got kicked off, I think, of that platform.
Oh, did he?
I think he got kicked off of, I can't find his stuff. There's like a Vice documentary, and it was specifically the thing we're talking about, David Icke and the reptilians, something like that. But other than that, because he used to have his own channel, and I used to tune in all the time, but I don't know, he got the boot.
I used to suspect that he might have been a reptilian too. I don't know why.
Why is that? That's interesting.
I think it was because of the way he held his hands.
Really?
Yeah, if you go back and look at some pictures, whenever I remember him, I would like go back and Google pictures of him to be like, did I really think he had reptilian hands?
Like, well, like how did they look? Like, were they just like an angle?
I feel bad if he has like a medical condition.
No, that's fine. I doubt David Icke's gonna watch this, and because I David, we apologize.
Also, people who are that obsessed with something, I always suspect like maybe they could be part of this program that they don't know about yet. You know what I mean? Like, he could be a reptilian who's sent to Earth to talk about the reptilians and introduce them to the population.
That's an interesting.
Who else would know that much about the reptilians other than a reptilian?
That's such an interesting theory. Continue. And so what stood out to the stuff David Icke was talking about? Was it because he talked a lot?
I think that it also goes into like all the conspiracy theories about the Illuminati and famous people being reptilians, like Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that where they try to catch her eye, the shape shifting eyes.
Yeah, yeah, the vertical. A lot of politicians,
mm-hmm. like Bill Clinton and people I'm sure people like that. Were yeah. they or Bush, George Bush?
Oh yeah,
they try
yeah.
to do that to him.
Is or, that why he got kicked off? Maybe for accusing people of being reptilians.
I don't know. I've seen videos of him where they kind of like freeze frame, like him blinking, and then you know how it's like that vertical.
Oh yeah,
the eyes, like where they freeze frame that, and they're like, aha, you know.
Yeah,
but that
could also just be a glitch of the video.
Yeah, but then I've also seen videos where it's kind of like grainy, and then they're kind of morphing in and out of reptilian humanoid type deal, where it's like, have you seen that? They glitch out, and you could kind of see their yeah. skin break up, like you could see the kind of like scales and their eyes and. Their faces morphing and stuff yeah. like that. Yeah. But so what stood out, like some of the stuff he was saying was quite bizarre to me, like as far as them I didn't know what luge was. They talked about this they live off human fear, and they refer to it as luge or something, and what kind of lost me is they try to kind of connect it with like demonic worship or
yeah.
stuff like that, like child sacrifice because of the blood and like you know, the sacrifices, and the reptilians, like I guess they thrive on it.
Is the luge kind of like pheromones?
Like yeah, when you it's like get fear, scared, like the fear released, and I guess yeah. the younger the person is, like that's why it's like, you know, like the kid sacrifices and all that yeah. And that's where sense. That kind of it kind of like crossed over to like a demonic movie or something to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
That stuff I think just becomes, I don't know, a little weird.
Yeah, and then the Bohemian Grove thing, where all the yeah. like Reagan and all the politicians like went to that place for the ceremonial.
Is David Icke the one who went to Bohemian Grove, or is no, that Alex Jones? No,
that's Alex Jones.
Yeah,
he got the boot too, I think, from YouTube or his platform. Yeah. But yeah, continue. Did you hear this kind of information too? Like,
The aliens stories are very tied to conspiracy theory, so you can definitely go down the rabbit hole and then go into like really dark places. But yeah. I was trying to focus more on like the love and
I like that,
cause you know, type of experience that people were talking about.
Let's now focus. That's great you said that, because there are supposed friendly aliens, right? Yeah. Not just the evil ones, like the Palladians are supposedly friendly.
Yeah.
The blonde hair, blue eyed ones. Yeah, Palladians, tall whites, the Nordics, stuff like that. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
So usually when I do group portraits like this, I try to have like one of each type of alien. Sometimes I make them up too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another interesting theory about the gray aliens, and this one comes from like the military side.
Go ahead.
And this one, it was a woman who was saying that she worked on the secret project, and what they were doing was crossbreeding humans with dolphins, and that's how you get the gray skin. I love that story.
Wait a minute, I haven't heard that one.
Really? Yeah, it's one of the ones where you find in like a rare documentary.
So hold up. So some of the
because dolphins are very intelligent, so
I'm a fan of dolphins, okay.
It would be kind of an upgrade too.
Yeah, it would be an upgrade. But that's how they get the gray skin.
Yeah.
Can I also, since we're on gray alien skin, right, of the gray, I've also heard this, so shout out, I think rest in peace to my main man Kratos Mutwa, African shaman. I was introduced to him through David Icke. He would visit Africa and get the ancient knowledge from Kratos Mutwa, and Kratos Mutwa talked a lot about reptilians, but then about the grays as well. According to them or him, he said that gray thing is like a suit, like a space suit, and they're really pink. really? And they refer to them as like pinky pinkies. Have you heard of that?
No.
Okay. So I like the dolphin theory better. It's more interesting because it's oceanic. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit more about that? So you're saying that an alien species came down here into the water and bred with dolphins?
No, that story would have been like the military trying to create a new human to use in war, like, or, you know, to like send people off to fight without losing human life. They would be creating this
like a super dolphin alien soldier.
Yeah, exactly.
So the military were meaning to crossbreed to make a super dolphin colored gray.
Yeah, almost like a disposable person that they could use instead of having humans go and.
So were they crossbreeding them with humans too as well?
I think that's what she was saying. Yeah.
Okay, so
you'll have to look the story up yourself.
You should just see my intern's face this whole time. She's just intrigued. She's like, So, because I believe that, too. I know the military, they know a bunch of stuff, you know, that's under wraps, you know, as far as all, like, knowing about these different different alien species, the ones that are evil or not, the friendly ones. Okay, I don't want to get off this dolphin thing yet. So you're saying there's the military had a secret experiment where they took humans and aliens and dolphins and mixed the genes and made this super soldier.
Well, I'm just saying this based off a documentary that I saw. So.
What's that documentary called? Just give that one a shout out. You know, if you remember.
That's the only story I remember from that one, because I'm more interested in, you know, like the abduction stories from people who mm-hmm. have been having them, mm-hmm. less so the military stuff.
Yeah. Have you heard... I'm having a fantastic time, by the way, because when's the last time we talked about this? Never. On one of the Earth Files, she talked about these insect aliens.
Oh, the mantis.
Yeah, the mantis. Have you heard of this? Yeah,
supposedly they're like the really intelligent leaders of...
Not only that, they know how to operate the spacecrafts.
Yeah.
They you're right, they're like pretty high up there.
Yeah.
How'd you hear about them? So they look like praying mantises.
Yeah.
But they're big, right? They're like bigger ones.
And I've heard that some of them are friendly. And
she is so scared right now. Hold up, what you're not seeing is my intern going like this.
I want to know if you have dreams tonight. Yeah,
but go ahead, keep going, talk about the mantis.
I've heard that some of them are, you know, friendly and some of them are not. So it's kind of like the reptilians. You know?
Yeah, I've heard that too. I heard they could also, they have the ability to do telepathy, where I've heard stories where, you know, an abductee was, you know, in a UFO, and to calm them down, the mantid one would just do telepathy to calm the human down, like everything's going to be okay.
Well, it's kind of interesting that the Neuralink is coming out now.
Yeah, go ahead, talk about that.
Before, you know, when I heard about the telepathy and stuff, it sounded very mysterious, but now that, like, we have science that can do that, and supposedly if the gray aliens are future humans, then that's kind of the direction we're headed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it usually comes with this warning of, like, you know, don't destroy the planet, don't destroy your bodies too much. Yeah. You're going to have to travel back and try to get some of that original DNA back.
Yes, yes. Now, do you have fantasies? Because I think about this sometimes before I sleep, where you want to get abducted by a friendly, you know, like a friendly alien. I think it could be
fun. I've had dreams of...
Go ahead, tell them. Yeah, I want to hear about it.
I had this one dream. I was living in this apartment. So in my dream, it felt... it was kind of realistic because it was in my own home. Mm-hmm. And this little gray alien came in with a clipboard and told me that we had to go. And so I was like, okay, sure. So in my dream, I didn't even question him. I was just like, I'm ready to go. And I remember he floated down. I went down the stairs, and in my living room, my family was all like having dinner or something. And I was mm-hmm. like, I have to go with this alien. Mm-hmm. And we got into a spaceship, and then we started.
Did it look like this one? This
yeah. One? Except he had a lumpy head. Like he had a very big, he was short with a big lumpy head.
Maybe half my height. Okay, so about that. Yeah.
There's also an interesting theory about the Greys that they're kind of various stages of the hybridization program, so mm-hmm. that the hybrid children at the more advanced level look more human, and that the original, at the beginning of the experiment, they had a lot of problems, so they were getting these like weird, lumpy looking gray aliens. So that's why you have the Greys in different.
Yeah, there's
sizes
different
and
types.
Shapes.
I'm glad you brought that up. People think there's just one type, but there's varieties even yeah. with just the Greys, right?
That's and it kind of makes sense because, you know, there's varieties of humans.
Of humans, right? Yeah. So that's why I want to bring up the Ebens again, because they're kind of a Grey, but their heads are pear-shaped, but they're more advanced. But the other Greys, there's ones that are probably shorter and they have lumpier heads, like you were saying, right?
Yeah.
In your dream, did you fly out into space?
The last thing I remember was getting on the freeway with the spaceship. My dreams are like half reality, half alien stuff. But I've never had a dream where I actually got to like go into the ship and see something interesting.
Yeah.
It's always, you know, like coming and asking me for permission. Maybe I'm not as advanced.
Right.
Some of the other people are.
Have you thought of this? Because I love sci-fi movies like, you know, Close Encounters and even, you know, just what other, just Star Trek, Star Wars, like all that stuff.
Would you want to get abducted?
Yeah, I fantasize. Yeah, sometimes I do. I just want to be like, I want to just get, because, you know, maybe if I traveled more, I'd be like, oh, I haven't even been to Europe, you know? But as far as wanting to, yeah, I think that would be
I'd love to go to space for sure.
Yeah.
Take a little tour.
Now, I don't know why I thought of this, but do you think, I'm sober, but I've heard people who take DMT, they're able to go there. For you know, like for a window of maybe
that's what I've heard too. I've never done it, so
you haven't
done
it. Are you? Would you be open to? I'm in a program. I'm like I don't want to lose my mind and stuff because I might it might trigger me.
Yeah.
But would you be open to doing that? To doing DMT?
I don't think I really need to.
Yeah,
do
it
that
looks
too.
Like you're already there.
Because people do message me and tell me that they're seeing my characters in their. Yeah, and they're...
Wait, say that again. People are messaging you saying, hey, on my DMT trip, I saw a character from your painting.
Yeah, some people will be, like, very serious about it and be like, you're painting my children, I need to talk to you.
What?
So it does get a little bit...
Wait, you've got messages like that?
Yeah. So recently, somebody was just continuously messaging me about... I think he said it was a DMT experience and he had seen these characters and then he came across my paintings and he recognized them. So.
And so they're saying, they're DMing you this
yeah.
stuff? And some of them are just kind of like they keep wanting to talk to you about this stuff?
I think it's also nice for them to have like a picture outside of their mind.
Oh,
to connect
then,
to what they're saying.
And then you're
seeing.
Accurately portraying that through your vision and your art.
Supposedly. But my work was inspired by, you know, the descriptions that I
mm-hmm.
heard from the experiencers. So,
that's
I'm trying to...
Be accurate to
yeah.
do it. You hear it and you try to portray it, like, in your mind, and this is the way it comes out.
Yeah. And I'm trying to intentionally put out, like, a positive
vibe, which you are.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a happier reptilian boy. Now, as far as your choice of, I love the attire as well in all of these, you know, individuals. What made you choose like these? That I get because the snake, reptilian snake, but with the moon on this, like, what made you choose this stuff?
I was trying to give them each a little bit of character.
Character.
And also, if they were to, you know, join Earth, they'd probably take up some of our customs, like wearing clothes for...
Right.
I don't know if they would need to or not, but I would think they might want to.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, maybe this is a laboratory and that since they're so advanced, because you know they have cloaking technology, obviously. They must have cloaking technology where we can't see them, but they know we're here. Do you think that we're in a laboratory and they're just kind of checking us out and seeing, like, our behavior? Because we're probably really, you know, primal to them. Like,
well, they also want some of the DNA, so we can't be that bad.
Yeah, they do, right? I've also heard this. There, a lot of these, this is according, you know, this is from what I heard from, like, Linda Moulton Howe, just the stuff that I've looked up. I've heard they're fascinated with us because of we have souls, and some of them don't have souls.
And empathy.
Yeah, which is...
That's one of the things that they lost as they evolved.
Evolved as empathy, because they're more like technology, gather this, and resources.
Yeah. They also lost their ability to breed.
To breed?
Yeah, because one of the stories was that their heads got so big that it just became physically impossible to breed.
Oh my, that does make sense, because they... Their heads morph so big.
Yeah.
And so, do you think a lot of them don't have reproductive part, like, parts?
That I think that's like part of the story, yeah. That
right.
They have to do it, you know, just by getting DNA and mixing it together in a lab, and that's why they have those cryogenic chambers where right. they store the fetuses. And so some of the abductees will be taken to them. Oh,
Go ahead,
Trying to think of this this artist. Oh, I should have looked her up before. She does paintings of her own hybrid children and her own experiences, and they're on the internet.
What's her name?
I'll have to look it up.
But she does similar type of art?
Yes. Yeah,
but with her, of her children, her alien children?
Yeah, and from her paintings, she would... show herself like being introduced to her hybrid children and being in rooms with these tanks, and there would be a bunch of them lined up. And
yes, that's really interesting to me. Wow. And she has conviction in this, like, these are
and
I'm
she,
telling you, these
she,
are my children.
She's not doing it to be an artist. She's just, I think, doing it because she
just
to
herself.
Cope with what she's experienced. And that's what a lot of artists who we're portraying aliens from their own experience. They're just trying to, you know, have something to show
an outlet,
other people.
An outlet to get a visual of what they want to see, like, their experience, right?
Yeah.
Now, are there, because I don't see a lot of this style of art. I mean, I don't know much about the art community, like, indeed. I've had artists here, but is this a more of a common, do you see more artists doing this style of art?
I do now. I think, like, part of it could be my own work, you know, influencing other people.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing is before I got into the aliens, I was painting, you know, like, the big-eyed children. And so once I started painting the aliens, it wasn't a huge transition. It was almost like a perfect fit.
Wait, the big-eyed children, what is that?
You know, like the big-eyed children, like Margaret Keane and Mark Ryden.
Oh, that type of style of... Okay. Craig mentioned... Excuse me. It's a Red Bull. Craig mentioned that... Didn't you have a big show with this really well-known Japanese artist?
Takashi Murakami. Yeah.
Takashi Murakami. How did that all... I mean, that's a well-known...
Well, that's actually a really interesting story.
Go ahead.
Because when I made the transition to alien work, a lot of my collectors were weirded out by it.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a few years, I was really struggling with like which direction I wanted to take my art. And it was really obvious to me that I wanted to do the alien stuff. And I had to actually move out of Los Angeles. My ex-husband at the time... and I moved to Big Bear, so, you know, I'd be able to focus on, just take a little break from the gallery world. And
did you get, like, an Airbnb, or did you live out there?
We rented a cabin there, and, you know, in Big Bear, you can get, like, a two-bedroom cabin with a front and backyard for less than what you'd get for, like, a crappy apartment out in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So, it gave me a little bit of... you know, space and time to develop my style.
It's a great area to just get away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then something interesting happened. I was being criticized quite a bit for changing styles, not from my collectors, more from like galleries and stuff who didn't know what to do with it.
Oh, because it's so out there. It's like outside the
box. I know the stories behind it, so like it's easy for me to talk about my art.
Yeah.
But when, you know, like if I present a gallery with something completely different, they just had no idea how to sell it.
I love it. I wish more art was like this.
Thank you.
I think more of it should exist. Continue, though. And so that
something interesting happened. Takashi Murakami saw a drawing of mine that was very similar to that one at an art fair. And I didn't even know the drawing was there. I was, we had just started a road trip around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we had given up our cabin in Big Bear. We were on a road trip. And then I got this email that he had bought one of my drawings.
Tekashi?
And it was,
Takashi did? How did that make you feel?
Well, at the time, I was like, the 2 days before, I was so frustrated with, you know, the whole, the way just, my just, art was just, being perceived.
Or just the politics within the artist community, right? Like, just the, you know,
people. So I was, you know, in the shower and I looked out the window. I was like, just send me a sign that I'm on the right track. And then 2 days later.
That the universe? That?
Yeah, just looked out the window.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, I got the email from Spoke Art Gallery. And they were like, hey, Murakami bought your drawing. And it was that alien drawing of the hybrid children. And so I was like, this is my sign.
Oh, my
God. So,
what Spoke? Is that a gallery? I'm not familiar.
It's a gallery, but they had taken my artwork to an art fair. So he just happened to be there. He was walking around.
So it was by chance that he was there and happened to see that piece, one of your pieces, right?
And he said it was the way it made him feel that made him want to buy it, that like.
And this, I mean, tell the viewers and listeners who this man is and how big he is in the art world. Like, he's a really big artist.
Yeah, he's, you know, one of the most successful artists. He did Kanye West's album cover.
He did.
He collaborated with Billie Eilish recently.
Yeah, about him.
He does the big happy face flowers. Oh, yeah, right there.
Huh?
I gave that one to you.
Where?
That? Happy face flower?
That's him?
Yeah.
That thing. That's, and he's a Japanese guy?
And he has a gallery, several galleries in Japan, and one of them, he tries to find new artists to bring over and, you know, help out.
Yeah. So did he, you do a show with him?
Yeah, so let me continue this.
Yes, thing. Yes, yes.
So, like I said, I was on a road trip at that time, so we were traveling up, California up to Washington, and mm-hmm. 2 months later when he received the painting, he found me on Instagram, or the drawing. He messaged me on Instagram and was like, hey, do you want to do a show at my gallery? And he just happened to be in Washington at the same time I was there. So this is another like freaky coincidence.
Yes.
So I was just on this road trip. I wasn't expecting him
just
to message me.
Just a random road trip? Not like an art road, like you had a show?
We had decided to get rid of all of our stuff and just go on this like long-term road trip, basically live on the road. And
that's cool.
I hadn't taken on a show because I was just going to be selling my own art and doing it all along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had no idea I was going to get this show off for a while, living in my car, basically.
You lived in your car?
We were traveling, like
was
technically.
Was it like an RV or something?
It was a 1988 Jeep Cherokee.
Okay.
So it's kind of big, but it's old.
Yeah, so you had sleeping bags in there?
Yeah, and we would camp in forests and stuff like that.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was very fun. But then when I got the show offer, I was 2 months into the road trip. We were sleeping in a forest while he was. I had waited for him a few days to land so I could meet with him in person
mm-hmm.
at the, I think Juxtapose had a big show.
The magazine Juxtapose.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he was coming out for that because he had helped curate it.
Yes, yes.
So just coincidentally, I happened to be in Seattle and I waited a few extra days. We were about to go into Canada when I got the message and then we just turned around and went back to the forest.
What was his demeanor like? Was he a nice man?
Oh yeah, he's very, very nice.
Yeah. He speaks his English is okay too as well?
He would have somebody help translate certain things.
Right.
And I think I talk a little fast, so.
No, you're doing fine. Okay, and so would you say he's one of the biggest artists out of Japan or in the world?
I would say in the world, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And so let's get to
I
that.
I think he has a show coming up at Gagosian Gallery in New York May.
Wow. And then he offered you a show to display how many pieces of your
painting? So I ended up doing, I think, 13 pieces while, you know, driving around the country. And I don't think he ever really understood what was happening with the show. That I was, you know, making all the artwork in my car or, like, in hotel rooms.
He didn't know that.
Yeah. He knew I was on a road trip at the time, but I don't... Because I don't know if I ever properly communicated how I was making the artwork.
Right.
And there was just so much pressure to make a good show for Murakami while at the same time having to make art for myself to sell so I can, you know, keep traveling and...
Yeah.
I mean, looking back, I probably should have just cut the trip short and just got a place to work on the art. But the show, I ended up calling it Into the Void because that's basically...
Into the Void?
Yeah.
I love that.
That's basically what I was doing. Just, I was like, I'm going to continue with this road trip. I'm going to make art in my car, do the best I can.
I mean, that's inspirational. There might be some struggling artists that will, you know, they'll get inspiration from this story, you know.
Yeah, like, I hope so.
I mean, you're doing it out of your car, and then this
I couldn't say no, obviously.
I mean, this is this is probably the biggest opportunity thus far in your career, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like this
and
guy.
It was also the person who, you know, was sent to me after I asked for a sign, so it was it was the right motivation that I needed to continue down the alien path.
Right. So how was that experience? How was the show and the reception and everything?
So it took me about a year to do the show while driving around, and then I shipped everything. And then we stopped in Los Angeles so that I could fly out there. Mm-hmm. So it was just such a fun trip to get to go to Japan and, you know, meet.
Oh, so you went to Japan?
Yeah.
In Tokyo?
Yeah.
In Tokyo?
Yeah.
That was a show. Oh, wow.
Have you been there? Nakano Broadway. I hadn't been there before, and I had always wanted to go to Japan.
Oh, yeah. We all
so
did, yeah.
So it was so much fun. He had one of his assistants show us around, and we had the opening.
Yeah.
It was really difficult for me to explain what the artwork was about. I didn't really think...
Wouldn't it just show itself? Like, when they look at it, they should just kind of get a vibe of what... Like, when I see it, I'm like, oh, I get it. I mean, that's just me. I get, like, when he showed me, because I'm
some
like,
of it got a little weird.
What do you mean, like, some of the pieces?
Well, if you think about what the psychological effects of living on the road, like,
oh,
you know.
That's what you mean.
Being sleep deprived, it's going to produce some weird artwork. So yeah. I was making some pieces that was just, you know, a picture of, like, a girl and some space and a whole bunch of writing. In English.
Yeah.
So I didn't really think too much about, like, how is this going to be...
perceived?
Yeah, once it gets there. I was really just making art as I was inspired to.
Yeah.
And part of it was just art that I had to make.
Was it a collective show, or, like, how many other artists were on the bill there?
It was just me. It was a solo show.
It was your show.
Yeah.
Woo!
So it's a lot of pressure, too.
Yeah, I mean, up until this point, I mean, have you felt this type of pressure? I mean...
Well, after that experience, I feel like I can handle anything that comes my way.
You can, because that's it right there.
Yeah.
That's...
There were some nights where we'd be driving all day, and then... Because I can't, you know, work on a painting while the car is moving.
Oh, obviously.
And I'd feel so guilty, like, not having been able to paint, that when we would park somewhere, I would hang flashlights in the front seat of the car and just... work on something for several hours and then fall asleep in the morning, like sitting upright in the front seat of the car.
Oh my goodness.
Because there were some times where we couldn't find a campsite or a forest, and you'd have to just park somewhere and just, you know, sleep in the car.
That's insane. So when you had the show finally in Japan, like how much was one piece going? Like, how do you set prices as far as your pieces of art?
So a piece like that, I have that priced at $1,500 right now.
Right now? So is this for sale right now?
Which one is that? Yes.
So this
I just finished that a couple weeks ago. So
this one's for sale?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so viewers and listeners, if you happen to, because I've been holding it the whole time, probably, you know, if you like this piece, contact Anna at Anna Bagayan on her Instagram. $1,500. What a steal. Because this would, I would have, this, you I do sell this for $5. Okay. 1500, right? Can we, because we're like, oh my God, it's already down to the last couple. Can you, can we display some of your other art? Because I want to make sure they get more of your vibe and everything.
I don't want to knock anything over.
Yeah. Thank okay. you.
These are prints
so,
that
so
I
brought. Hit her up if you. I mean, this would go beautiful like in your kitchen or the master bedroom, right?
Could be okay. a family portrait. Yeah, if you've family been portrait. Affected.
Have you thought about making these into T-shirts or any like a hoodie or something like that?
I do have some on my website. Yeah, you can.
Can we plug your website as well right now?
It's just myname.com. So Anna Bagayan.
Anna Bagayan. That's AnnaBagayan. Okay.
And.
Oh my goodness.
That one is a Martian baby.
Oh, look at that.
Would you want to move to Mars if you had the chance to? Like if Elon Musk called you and was like, hey, Steve.
Oh, what a beauty. What a beauty. Look at this. And these are prints?
Mm-hmm.
How much for a print?
I think those are about 100.
100.
I think there's one behind it, too.
Okay. Oh, my. Wait. Oh, mm-hmm. my. Look at this. Look at this. I mean, what is this just coming from your mind? Like, I love, I mean, the colors and the eyes and the eyeball on the chest.
And there's the Curiosity rover in the background. So I was kind of imagining.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's like on some Dune shit. Some David Lynch shit right here, guys.
I was imagining what life on Mars might be like and that they're like secretly spying on us as we're looking for life on Mars.
Amazing stuff. I might have to buy one of these. Do you take PayPal or what's the deal?
I was going to gift you some of these. That black and white painting
is yours too. I would frame this one. Yeah? No, I would. I'm going to PayPal. No, I'm going to PayPal you. So, ladies and gentlemen, Anna Bagayan, could you have more?
I do have one examples? More.
Oh my goodness.
The one on the bottom is like curly.
Oh, what? What?
Oh yeah, that's on silver paper. Cuz you know, it's got this? That space theme.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, this be delicate. Look at that. Look at
that. One's
that.
Called Ripples in Hyperspace. I'm also beautiful. Very into space and science and stuff, so
yeah.
I try to
oh my
combine the two interests. Yeah.
You got more?
And this one is it's not an alien, but it's a portrait of an electron.
This would be like my son if I crossbred with an alien. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it's Stevie Weeby Jr. I mean, look at those eyes, man. Right? I always think that there might be an alien race with like Asiatic, maybe? Like
I have heard of Mongolian.
Yeah, Mongoloid, yeah. That, right? I mean, you don't see the resemblance? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm reaching. Yeah? Amazing. And is this for sale?
That one, I think, is for sale through La Luz de Jesus Gallery.
Okay, so how do they get to that? Like, is there a website or like?
Yeah, if you just look up the gallery, La Luz de Jesus.
Oh, say that clear, spell it out. I want people to get.
It translates to the light of Jesus. So you could
so
translate
that's how
that.
The light of Jesus in what language?
In Spanish.
So
it's
look.
It's a very famous gallery in Los Angeles.
Okay, and they could get this one. Mm-hmm. There. Okay.
Two of those prints.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful.
And that painting down there, the aliens, that was a gift for you. That's why I brought that.
the alien?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. This is a beauty.
Craig told me you're into aliens, so I wanted
yeah, I
to
mean,
give you.
This is a perfect fit. When I seen your art, I'm like, it was a no-brainer. I'm like, oh yeah. Yeah, I'll hit her up right now. Look at that.
Thank you so much for having me on here.
Yeah. Now, do you think, man, I wish every, I mean, because I want more, do you, Are there other artists like you that do this type of thing? Because this is a unique style that you got going on here, right?
I can think of a few other alien artists.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Just in, you know, if you think of it in the future.
Oh, I just remembered that artist that I mentioned earlier that was painting her own hybrid children. Her name is Josie Gallant.
Okay, yeah. Definitely write that one down, huh? Yeah. That's a must. Josie Gallant.
Yeah.
J-O-S-E.
I don't think she's, you know, selling her artwork
I just
anymore.
Want to see it.
Yeah. This is more
care.
Just because they're really cool.
I want to see what's going on there.
Yeah. If you want more of a portrayal from somebody who has experienced
it. Is that
it.
How you spell it?
Josie with an I-E.
J-O-S-I-E?
Yes, that's it.
Josie Gallant. So, ladies and gentlemen, do you got more? Is that more over there?
It's a different type of artwork.
I don't care. Let's bring it over here.
Okay. Because I mentioned I'm into science.
No, we're gonna show it all. We're gonna show it all.
I'm kind of going through another transition in my art.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna hand it to you, and then you could display it to the camera. Yeah.
You can take a look at that one. It's another part of that series.
Okay.
While I open this
Thank
one.
You. Okay.
Like showing
look at that cutie.
That's me.
Yeah. Oh.
That was part of the series where you choose your own adventure.
Yes.
And the question was, can we borrow your fridge? And do you want to know where this horror story was going to go before I canceled it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So they said yes to borrowing the fridge, and then the piece that I just gave you was the final piece where you would go into the ship. And then the next thing was going to be your head in the fridge and the TV on your body. And they were going to be doing this experiment that you had agreed to participate in.
Okay.
But then, you know, the war broke out and I decided not to get violent.
No. Oh, sorry about that. Wow, look at this.
That
is
this is
like on some DMT right here, right? I mean, that could be someone's trip.
Yeah.
And when did
a portrait of Tesla from a picture of him with the Tesla coil.
Yeah.
And I came up with this perspective grid that's based off of chaos theory, which is a kind of a relatively new science.
Yeah.
Have you heard of like order in the chaos and chaos?
No, not at all. Well, you want to summarize that?
So it's basically like a perspective grid based off the golden ratio. And I found that I can use it to draw a bunch of different natural things, and somebody mentioned that it looked like the Tesla coil, so I made a few adjustments and they were totally right. The picture of Tesla kind of matched the template that I had made, so I decided to try to actually draw it.
Oh my goodness.
So it's kind of a geometric graphic depiction of Tesla with his Tesla coil.
That's amazing. How long did it take you to complete this one?
Well, once I had the template done, they take me, like something that size probably took me about 3 days to do, just because it's all hand-drawn.
This is all hand-drawn?
Yeah, with like a ruler, and I have a Fibonacci gauge that I use to measure the golden ratio proportions.
That's amazing. Now, do you sell this style as well?
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting because people have been following me for a long time, like the new stuff too. So it's really exciting for me to be able to have that creative freedom and then have the support of people.
And diversify
who just,
your art. You know, you're coming up with different styles. And
it's really nice when people support you, your evolution as an artist versus wanting you to, you know, do the one thing over and over.
Well, okay, this is one thing I always ask artists on here. What tips or suggestions or encouragement would you give an aspiring, struggling artist? Like, do you have any tips that you could give them?
Well, I think you just have to make a lot of art to find out what your style is.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, the things that I'm interested in filter directly into my art, so if you are struggling with coming up with ideas and stuff, maybe take up some new interests. Like for me, once I saw a movie about aliens, it just took me in a completely different direction.
Right.
And then from the aliens, I started researching science because there was a lot of references to quantum physics.
Right.
And like the multiverse. And I found that stuff to be really interesting too. So I went more in that direction. And now that I'm becoming more scientific, it's showing up in my art. And then it was almost like an accidental thing. But I think the things that you're interested in are going to come out through your art.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, I forgot the name of the other movie, that sci-fi movie, Enemy Mine, with Dennis Quaid. It's about him having a friendship with a reptilian. And it's a really beautiful story.
I didn't know
there
were so many reptilian movies.
Yeah, it's. I think it's from the 80s. And write that down, Enemy Mine. And I don't want to spoil it, but so if you haven't seen Enemy Mine, watch it. But I'm gonna spoil it at the end because it's a man reptilian, but he gets pregnant and has a child, and he dies. Cool. So Dennis Quaid at the end of the movie ends up taking his kid. Yeah, he's stuck on a planet, and then they meet just by circumstance, you know, and they're supposed to be enemies, but they get along.
And the males are the ones that kind of like seahorses.
Yeah, they reproduce and have kids. Yeah,
that's a cool movie.
Yeah, I forgot who the.
I'll definitely look that one up.
Yeah, please do. I don't know. I looked for it on iTunes. I don't know. It's one of those movies. It was popular kind of back then, but I don't think many people know about it now.
I didn't.
Yeah, Enemy Mine. Yeah, that's the other one. Let's. I had a great dude. That was a great time. That was fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so again, if you want to buy, purchase, and any of her art, go to annabagayan.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
So annabagayan.com. That's ANNABAGAYAN. And also, if you have any questions, she goes by that on her Instagram. Okay. That wasn't so bad, right? It flew by. That was easy
that
for me
because really
it was
fast.
So interesting because I'm interested in all this stuff.
Yeah.
Really impressive. Keep it up.
I can't believe we talked about aliens the whole time, too.
Did we really?
Yeah.
I didn't ask you where you grew up.
No big deal.
Okay, well, I want you. Would you be open to coming back? Because I want to, you know, that'd be interesting just to see your evolution and your progression.
I knew that you were into aliens, so that's why
Did Craig told you that?
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of the CB Weeby Show. If you like the podcast and you want to help support it, go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby, StevieWeebyShow.com for any t-shirts. My music's at StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. I also have some of the music on Spotify under QUANGOU. Oh, Scissor Bros. Scissor Bros podcast episodes drop every Friday. Go to youtube.com/scissorbros. And we're starting to do more live events. We have one coming up soon. Definitely subscribe to that channel as well. And we got some new merch on that tip. We do have a P.O. box. If you want to send any packages, send all your stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Anna, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I like your music, by the way.
Oh, thank you
out.
So much. I have some kind of sci-fi reptilian based songs as well.
Okay.
I'll give you a record after. I'll give you some stuff too. I'm just really stoked on your art. And ladies and gentlemen, if you like any of her stuff, buy it. Okay, it's a steal. $1,500 for that one. That's a good deal.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's a great deal. Get it now because the price is going to go up through time. Okay. Did we cover everything? Okay. Let me shout out the sponsor again. Oh. Yeah, I know. I wanted to give it to her. Nurofol. Really get your hair game going. My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip, a soul full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sand. Stir the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in.
given today, don't give it away. The pitch and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of thrones delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Lift this way, can deal with shade. A spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal of mail. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female. Today. I'm going down.